We have been considering these past couple of weeks, in particular the verses 21 and 22 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because in verse 21, Paul says, "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." Remembering that he had said in verse 20, "Despise not prophesying." The word prophesying there in this occasion refers to the preaching of the word. And Paul exhorts the believers in Thessalonica, saying, despise not the preaching of the word. Don't set the word of God that you hear, don't set it at naught. That's what he means. Don't just cast it to one side as though it doesn't matter, that it doesn't apply. Despise not the preaching of the word. And then he says, prove all things. He's referring here again to the word. That whatever teaching we may hear and may be given and may receive, we are to prove it against the word of God. Prove all things in the light of Scripture. Because you and I know we live in a day of false teachers and false teaching. There are new methods and there are new movements. And many seem to go after such things like the Pied Piper of Babylon. And men and women don't stop to ask, well, is this scriptural? And so we're to prove all things. Whatever comes upon the scene, and more often than not, any new teaching or any new doctrine is simply an old teaching or an old doctrine dressed up a new garb. And so Paul says, prove all things, test all things in the light of Scripture. And that's what we considered last week. The word and the test. Now Paul goes on to say, hold fast that which is good. In other words, you have tried and tested all things and proved all things. And in so doing, you reject that which is false. And you claim and hold on to that which is good. You hold on to that which is truth. That's what Paul is saying here. Prove all things. Cast away the evil and the false. And then he says, hold fast that which is good. And so this morning, as we continue to look at the word, we looked last week at the word and the test. Test all things by the word. Now today we want to look at the word as our treasure. Hold fast that which is good. The word of God is our treasure. And we are to hold it fast. The word of God is good. We are to hold it fast. So the saints were to reject that which was evil or false and hold fast that which is good. The good they were to hold fast to was the word of God. We know that it is the word of God because Paul, first of all, identifies that which is good. So we have the treasure which we're to hold on to, we're to hold fast to. you've anything that's precious to you and valuable to you, you'll hold it fast. The Word of God is our treasure. Paul identifies it as that which is good. 2 Timothy. We might read 1 Timothy. First of all, 1 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 8. But we know that the law is good. If a man use it lawfully, so he's talking about the law of God or the Word of God, and he says the Word of God is good. Hold fast that which is good. Hold fast the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Here we have the same phrase, hold fast. The form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing, it's talking about the word, that good thing which was committed to me unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. The good thing. Paul has said, hold it fast. In Titus chapter 1, verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And so Paul here says the good thing, namely this Word of God was committed unto me. And Paul is saying that word I have to hold fast. It's not for sale. It's not for giving away. It's not for surrendering. I'm to hold it fast. I'm not to let go of the Word of God. He describes the word as that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So why did Paul refer to the Word of God as good? Well, because it is God's Word. That makes it good. But we can make a few other suggestions. The Word of God is good because, first of all, it is good for guidance. The Word of God is good to give us guidance. Didn't the psalmist say, Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp. We've often quoted these words. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word guides me through this dark world, this midnight of a world. We need guidance. Thy word, God's word, is our guide. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How would we get through this life without the Word of God being our guide? Those decisions that we have made in life, have we not made those decisions in the light of God's Word? We have asked the Lord to guide us. Lord, give me a word and show me what to do. And that decision has been based upon the Word of God, how He has guided us. Not only to do with our decisions, but our direction. Someone maybe comes and they have an opportunity to change their place of employment. But they don't know if it's the right thing to do or not. They need guidance. And the Lord gives that guidance and shows us the direction we ought to go. So it is with minister of the word. He maybe receives a call to go to another church. What does he do? Does he go or not? Does he go or stay? Well, the word of the Lord will guide him. I'll give you the word the Lord gave me and my family when we came to Canada from Northern Ireland. Just to give you an example of the Lord's guidance. John 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go. Not stay. That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask and of the Father in my name he may give it you. There was the guidance that we received with regard to the direction. Does that not make the word of God good then? And since the word of God is good, Paul says, hold fast that which is good. It is good for guidance. The word of God is good for growth. How could we grow spiritually if we didn't have the word of God? To feed upon, Peter said, do you recall, 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes in Christ desire the sincere milk of the word, that would be a sure indication that person who professed to know the Lord has a desire for the word, that will certainly be an indication that a work of true grace has been wrought in their heart and in their soul if they desire the word. Because they want to grow. And it is the word that enables us to grow spiritually. That makes this word good. Paul says then, hold fast that which is good. If we want to continue to grow, we need to hold fast the word. Can't give it up. We can't set it to one side. We can't look upon it as something that doesn't apply to us anymore. Paul says, hold fast that which is good. Desire the sincere milk of the word. The word sincere means unadulterated. Unadulterated word. That is, it's a pure word. Nothing debased or impure has been added to the word. This is the pure word of God and is the best spiritual food for the soul. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 140. Psalmist says, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. We live in a very impure world, and there's impurity all around us, and corruption and filth all around us. Isn't it good to have the word that is pure? And like David, we can say, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And since we have the pure word of God, that's something worth holding on to. Of course, the Lord Jesus is the incarnate word. And we not only feast our souls upon the written word, but upon the incarnate word. We know that from John chapter 6. In verse 48, the Lord said, I am the bread of life. Christ is our bread. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? In verse 53, Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Our souls feast on Christ. He's our food. There were those, of course, who heard the Lord that day preach these words, and they couldn't take it in. It's too hard for them to understand, and it says many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Do you know why? Because they weren't spiritually minded enough. And when the Lord said, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood, he was speaking spiritually. This is our spiritual food. Not only the written word, the incarnate word. And the word of God is good for our growth. Hold it fast. It is good for guidance. It is good for growth. It is good for godliness. That Christian who spends much time in the Word, that person will be a godly person. The Lord prayed that we would be godly. And he also prayed as to how we would be godly and holy and spiritual. In this great high priestly prayer, John 17, and verse 17, he said, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. That's godliness. That's sanctification. That's holiness. And you want to live a life of holiness and godliness and know the work of sanctification going on in your heart and in your soul, then you need the Word. This prayer of the Savior shows that there is no godliness, no holiness, no sanctification apart from God's Word. Another reason why Paul would say, hold fast that which is good. The Word of God is good because it leads us to a life of godliness. It's good. The Christian who delights in the law of the Lord and in his law doth he meditate day and night, that Christian will be holy, godly, spiritual, a sanctified Christian. Paul told Titus, the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. The acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. The truth leads to godliness in the life of the Christian. That's why we regard this good word as our treasure. If we didn't have the word, we wouldn't know anything about godliness. wouldn't know anything about sanctification, wouldn't know anything about holiness. Need the word. It's a good word. Paul says, hold fast that which is good. But that's not all. We can say it's good for the gospel. That's what makes this book good. This book is the good news for sinners. Some today don't believe that. And they haven't done what Paul has told us to do. Paul has said, hold fast that which is good. There are pulpits in this town and in this province that have thrown out the word of God. They don't hold it fast. It's gone. And they preach what Paul described as another gospel, which is not another. In Galatians 1, verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he repeats it. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. A strong language. It's the inspired word. Paul wrote under inspiration of God. And Paul told him to write, or the Lord told Paul to write these words. And he used that word, accursed. Cursed of God, because they preach not the gospel, the true gospel, the gospel of this book. This book is good. The word is good. We need to hold it fast because this word is the gospel. We hold it fast. Paul told the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. You think of it. You think of the many, many, many people sitting in churches today, and there's a man in the pulpit who doesn't know the word, who doesn't know the Lord, who doesn't preach the gospel, who doesn't preach the gospel, the true gospel of saving grace is hidden from their eyes. And Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. They don't have anybody to tell them. Jesus Christ died for sinners. And I've often said and thought, what will it be like in the day of judgment when those unfaithful clerics, those unfaithful ministers stand before God with their congregations? Point the finger at their minister and say, you never told me. You didn't preach the gospel to me. You didn't tell me I needed to be saved. to minister and congregation alike, God will say, depart from me, I never knew you. We need to hold that which is good and hold fast the gospel. This is a good book. Where would you and I be today if the gospel was not preached, had not been preached unto us? Where would you and I be today if we had never heard the gospel? We'd still be lost and in our sins, still on the road to hell, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hold fast that which is good. We have to hold fast the word. We're saved today because of this book. Because this book was opened and preached to us. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This is a great treasure, this book. This is our treasure. Hold it fast. The little children's chorus says, I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We'll go through life together, my Bible and I. It's good for another reason. And another reason why we should hold it fast. It's good because it glorifies Christ. This is a book that glorifies the Lord. We've already noted in our study of these verses that we have Christ from Genesis to Revelation. There is not a book in the Bible where we do not see the Lord. Our problem is that we don't. We're blind at times to the views of Christ. We need the Lord to touch our eyes that we may see and behold wondrous things out of thy law. That verse we read this morning in Psalm 119. Where the psalmist says that asked the Lord to open his eyes that he may behold wondrous things. The word wondrous is the same word we get in Isaiah 9, verse 6. His name shall be called Wonderful. Same word. And the psalmist said, show me wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, in other words, he was saying, Lord, show me Christ. He who is wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Because Christ is there. We referred to the words of the Lord to the Emmaus disciples in Luke 24 and verse 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beginning at Moses, all the scriptures. And in verse 44, he talked about Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Christ is there in them all. You recall Philip, he's called away from Samaria in the midst of revival. And he was sent away into the wilderness. And there he met the Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch was in his chariot, and he was reading the word, and he was reading from Isaiah. And Philip asked him, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I understand except someone show me?" What did Philip do? He preached Christ unto him. Because the Lord's there, you see. The Lord is there in all the scriptures. That's what makes this book so good. And why we need to hold it fast. Not many books you can pick up today. And find anything good in them. But you can do it with this book. Doesn't matter where you open it, anywhere. You'll find that which is good, and you'll find Christ. If you want to know, study the words of Christ, the work of Christ, the ways of Christ, then it's all in this book. If you want to know about the service of Christ, the steps of Christ, the sorrows of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, the substitutionary death of Christ, it's all here in this book. If you want to know about his ministry, and about his miracles, and about his marvels, it's in the book. Doesn't that make it good? For 1,000 other reasons, it makes it good. Because it's God's word. And it's our treasure. Hold it fast. Holy Bible, book divine. Precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came. Mine to teach me what I am. Mine to tell of joys to come and the rebel sinner's doom. O thy holy book divine, precious treasure. Thou art mine. Mine. Hold it fast. So we have the identity of our treasure. It's good. It's a good book. It's the Word of God. We also have here the insistence. Paul says, hold fast. He's insisting that the believers in the church in Thessalonica and like a hold fast the Word. He's insisting. Isn't that what he told Timothy? Again, 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And he told Timothy, told Titus, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Just what we were saying last week. Prove all things. We need to know the word, that we may be able to convince the gainsayers. We need to know the word when a Jehovah Witness or a Mormon comes to the door. We need to know the word so that we know how to answer them. And expose the fact that their teaching is false and give them the truth if they're willing to listen. But we need to know the word. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Something that's not popular today either. sound doctrine. We need to be taught sound doctrine. So many people are looking today for the frivolous, don't want to get into sound doctrine. So we see how Paul insists that those who have the word of God hold it fast. We ought to hold it fast because we are to live by the word. We live by it. That's why we should hold it fast. We live by it. Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word. Order my steps. Guide my steps, place my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. See? If we have the Lord order our steps in the word, we'll not fall into sin. And that is what the Lord expects from us. To live our lives in accordance to the word of God. That's how the Lord expects us to live. Turn to Genesis 26. Genesis 26, and verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. The Lord said that he would bless Isaac and his seed and his seed's seed because Abraham, the Lord said, obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. That's what the Lord expects of us. Expects us to keep his laws, his commandments, his charge. We have an interesting verse in Numbers 15. Numbers chapter 15. And here we have a few verses that emphasize the need for us to hold fast the word. We notice there in Numbers 15 and verse 37, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations. And that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. Why? Why would the Lord have the children of Israel do this? Verse 39, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart, your own eyes, after which ye use to go a whoring. Is that not consistent with our text this morning? Paul says, hold fast that which is good. Hold on to it. And here the children of Israel were to put a fringe on all their garments and with a ribbon of blue, and it would be a reminder that they were to live in accordance with God's word. Remember that when you look upon it, remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. It's all right knowing what the word says, but we are to do it as well. That's what the Lord expects us to do it. Expects us to live our lives a life that is consistent with the teaching of Scripture. You read Psalm 119 there, and may just highlight a few verses. 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Just what we had said earlier on. You know the word, you live a holy life. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. If you know the word, then you'll live a clean life by God's grace. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse 1, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. That I might keep thy word. And we shouldn't forget the Savior's own words. Over in John 14. In John chapter 14. And there we read in verse 15. If you love me. That's the test. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep them. Verse 21, same chapter. In verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's the insistence of Paul. Hold fast that which is good. We need the Lord's instruction. We need to live by the word. And if we live by the word, that's an indication we love the Lord. We live by it. We labor in it. We labor in the word. When writing to Timothy, Apostle Paul said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. You have the ruling elders, you have the teaching elder. The teaching elder is the minister who labors in the word and doctrine. the others as well, but primarily it's the minister who labors in the word and doctrine. That word labor, it is a word that refers to laboring until the point of weariness. The way after a day's work you say, oh, I'm worn out. And you fall down in your easy chair. That's what the word means. To be worn out. Laboring in the word. It's the same word the Lord used when he said, come unto me all ye that labor. Same word. And are heavy laden. So the preacher is to labor in the study of the word. And in the speaking of the word. He's to labor in his study and he's to labor in his pulpit. He's to labor in the word. If he doesn't labor in the word in his study, he'll have nothing to give to his people when he gets into the pulpit. Needs to labor in the study. And laboring, even in the study, you feel the weariness of the flesh if you labor. Different if someone goes on to the internet and downloads a sermon and writes it down and goes off to the pulpit. Not much laboring there. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. So we must hold fast the word in the study and in the pulpit. Paul spoke about those who labor in the word and doctrine. That is, those who are called to preach. And if ever there was a place where we need to hold fast this word, it's in the pulpit. As we have already indicated, many have thrown the Bible out of the pulpit. They have. Paul told Timothy, familiar words, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Why did Paul want Timothy to hold fast the word? To continue to preach the word? Well, he goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Turn away from the truth and be turned unto fables. And sad to say, that's what many people receive today in their places of worship. They received fables. Didn't receive the word. They didn't receive the word. The word fable means a tale, to tell a tale. The word fable means a myth. The word fable means a talk. Just a talk. I haven't time to look at it, but 1 Timothy 4. Verses 6 and 7, you read there again of how Paul exhorted Timothy, have nothing to do with fables. Preach the word. And as ministers of the gospel, we're to hold fast that which is good, because this book is good, because it's the gospel. Because it's the word of God. Hold fast. There's the instruction. Hold fast. Paul instructs the believer, hold fast. It's interesting in the parable of the sower that the Lord spoke about and interpreted the parable to the disciples, And he said this in verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And then verse 15 says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, listen, having heard the word, keep it. Do you know something? It's the same word Paul uses. Hold fast. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it or hold it fast. And bring forth fruit with patience. Hold fast the word. Hold fast that which is good. It's a day in which we need to hold fast the word. This is a day of apostasy, a day of a great falling away, a day in which more and more churches are throwing out the word and bringing in their programs and bringing in their new methods and bringing in a new message. Well, we'll just stay by the stuff. And by God's grace, we'll continue to walk in the old paths and we'll not remove the ancient landmarks, but we'll hold fast that which is good. And this book is good. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and gracious Father, we bless Thee for the Word. Thank Thee for the Bible. Thank Thee, Lord, for the memory of those men and women who, in the years of church history, laid down their lives, suffered imprisonment, suffered torture, that we could have this Word in our mother tongue. We can have a copy of the Bible and read it and study it and preach from it and learn about Christ and learn about ourselves. Thank Thee, Lord, for the Word. It is good. It is a good Word. Lord, write the Word upon our hearts today. Continue, Lord, to encourage us in the things of God. May we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For any, Lord, who are not able to stay, may Thy blessing, Lord, go with them. And for those of us who do remain around the table, Lord, be pleased to draw near and bring the scenes of Calvary before us. In the Lord's great name we pray. Amen.